Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. The announcements for this morning were on the screens as you were gathering this morning or are contained in the bulletin, and I draw them to your attention that you might make note of those which are of most importance to you. We are slowly but surely easing our way back, so the announcement loop, I'm sure, will grow over time. An early reminder for folks that calendar changed over here over the past week. It's now 2025, and you all know what that means. Annual reports are going to be due very, very shortly. So for those who are responsible for having material to Vina for the annual report, you can start working on that anytime. And I say that as much for my own benefit as for yours, and I will probably still be the last one to have a report in. That material will be, we'll start looking for that soon, and the quicker you can get it in, the easier it will be to compile the annual report for this year. We also want to extend a thank you to everyone for their contributions on Christmas Eve to Baldwin House, the undesignated offerings, and those who had, of course, designated gifts to Baldwin House were set aside for that particular task. There is one slight typo in the bulletin. The actual amount that went to Baldwin House was $549.15. Everything else I will leave. There are a number of meetings coming up this week, including the meeting of session. So please, elders, make note of that. And daily breads are available downstairs outside the office. If you haven't got your January, February, March copy yet, they're there for you. Our call to worship for this morning is, as is our custom, a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. We have seen a star in the east.
God is with us. Light has come.
We have heard the songs of the angels.
God is with us. Love has come.
Now we follow the light into the world.
God is with us. Christ has come.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of endless light, you sent a star rising from darkness, guiding seekers and sages, overwhelming us with great joy. Let the splendor of your dawning light grow in us and in all the world, until the whole creation shines with your glory. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our light. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is 146 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens, Angels from the Realms of Glory, number 146.
Who sang creation's glory, now proclaim us.
the light of Christ, we see the shadows of our world and of our hearts. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before us. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride hide the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore cries for justice. We do not strive for peace. In your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may show forth your glory shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. Christ is the light of the world who grants forgiveness and healing to us for all our sins. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing the hymn 144, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime," hymn number 144, or as it appears before you on the screen. Morning. How is everybody this morning? Preston, you going to come? Jamila, come on up this morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
It's cold outside this morning, isn't it? But at least we're not getting snow. There are people today who are getting snow. Well, where I live before I moved here to Cornwall, I'm not sure if Mitchell's getting a ton of snow today, but 45 minutes north of them in Listowel, I know they're getting snow. So we're very happy for them. And we're even happier for us. And there are people in the southern United States who are getting snow too, and they have no idea what they're going to do with it. So we remember them this morning. And if anyone from Mitchell or that area of southwestern Ontario is joining us, a good morning to you as you join us in worship. It's an amazing thing that people can join us from all over the place. I see your hand. That's right. It's close to the equator, and there's no snow. And you know what? On these really cold mornings this morning, I'll bet there's a whole lot of people sitting here who are thinking that sounds pretty good. But that's interesting that you would say that and remind us of that this morning, because that's kind of part of the story that I was going to say this morning. A lot of our practices of Christmas kind of They're kind of northern, right? We talk a lot in the imagery of Christmas, at least in a lot of our carols and things, talks about light and darkness, right? And here in the northern hemisphere, where it's winter, our days are really short and dark, right? And so we have all of these things that bring light, including candles, which I'm going to try to not set myself on fire with this morning, because that always makes for an exciting worship service, but never quite one that what we expect. But I mean, that's part of it, right? And that's part of the story that we're going to listen. You're listening to a different story. Down in Sunday school this morning, you're doing John 1, right? John 1, which, by the way, is one of my favorite Bible passages. It is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One of my favorite passages. I stopped and I looked for a minute because I say that all the time. I have so many favorite passages. I was expecting y'all to start laughing at me. But that's what you're hearing. Up here, so it talks about Jesus being the light. So you're going to hear about light downstairs. Up here, we're hearing about a different light. Up here, we're going to hear about Janiah is dressed perfectly for this children's story this morning. Janiah, what's on your dress?
Stars.
Stars. Janiah has stars on her dress. Because this morning is also what we call Epiphany Sunday. Big word, right? Do you want to try to say it with me? Epiphany. Epiphany. Now, do you want to know what that means? It means a revelation, something being made known to us. And it's Epiphany Sunday is the day that we remember the wise men who followed the star to find baby Jesus. So that's what we're thinking about this morning. And we have some wise men there. And we celebrate that, right? And one of the things that we celebrate when we remember the wise men is the fact that Jesus became known to more than just his own people, because the wise men came from far away, right? From that's right, you're right. They were from the northeast of where Jesus was born, in an area, we think they were probably Persians, if that means anything to anybody out there. Persians, people from around the area of modern-day Iran. So that's where we think they are. And you can maybe find, go home and ask your dad to show you on a map where Iran is from, because that is probably where we think those wise men came from. And the wise men we remember as being especially important because they were people who were from far away. And so in all that we do today, we remember that Jesus comes not just for a small group of people, but for everybody. For us who are here today, people in North America 2,000 years after Jesus was born, right? Amazing, right? He came for those wise men who came looking for him He came for those people who grow up in Africa and who don't have snow at Christmas. I just can't believe that. I'm so used to snow at Christmas, right? That's what we always hope for here. But and for other people everywhere, the hymn we just sang, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime," right, is a hymn that was written in the Huron language, the language of the First Nations people who lived here in this area where we are right now. And it was written so that the love of God would be revealed to them. So those words originally written in Huron were written so that they might come to know Jesus too and know of God's love. So all of those things, and we celebrate the fact that today that we are a church that is worldwide and that all of us have the opportunity to know God and to love him and serve him. So that's what we learned today up here as we talk about the wise men and the star, and you guys can remember that, especially with your starry dress this morning. And downstairs you'll be doing your own lesson about how Jesus is the light, and that's a great lesson too. I hope you have a lot of fun downstairs this morning. All right? So that's our story, and Trish is already on the move, so we'll see you all after church. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of all truth, we give you thanks that your word became flesh and now lives among us. As we prepare to hear the ancient words of Scripture and the new words of this sermon, enliven our hearts and minds to know afresh your living and eternal word, Jesus Christ, who is present in this place and in all places. Amen.
Morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Second reading is responsive, Psalm 72, verses 1 to 14. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son.
May he judge your people with righteousness and your pure with justice.
May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressed.
May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more.
May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust.
May the kings of Tarshish and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service.
For he delivers the needy when they are called, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight.
And our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words. A reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God and its rich variety may now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access in boldness and confidence through faith in him.
Our hymn is number 172 in the Book of Praise, As With Gladness Men of Old, hymn number 172.
Thank you.
And we continue to read from God's word as it is given in the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born, the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And upon entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of the visit of the Magi, it all makes sense. And yet, none of it makes sense. This is a story that lays side by side the expectations of all those who are involved in the story and a very different reality that is being played out before us. And yet, in Matthew's gospel, Matthew seems to completely ignore the fact that there are all these surprises that are happening in the text this morning. Or maybe it's just that the surprises were thought by Matthew to be so self-evident that they didn't need to have attention drawn to them at all, that we just notice the surprises as we read the text. Which then leads to the question, could it be that maybe we've just heard the story too often? We've heard it so often that the surprises have now become commonplace, that we miss the things that are really going on in this text, the things that are earth-shattering in their nature. So as we turn to this passage this morning from Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses, I'm going to invite you to listen with new ears, as if it were the first time that you had ever heard these words before, and to be attuned to the secret surprises that Matthew has in store for us. Perhaps the most startling surprise in the story of the visitation of the Magi is found in verse 11 of Matthew's story. The Magi have traveled from faraway lands, as we said with the young folk, from where we now figure in the country of Iran sits. They had traveled from faraway lands to pay homage to this newborn king. And on their way, they stop in Jerusalem and encounter Herod the Great, the Roman governor who was in power at the time. And then they follow on until they arrive in Bethlehem. in the humble home of Joseph the carpenter and Mary his wife. And you know what? The text does not say to us at all, it does not tell us that these ancient potentates were surprised at where the star had brought them. Scripture tells us they arrived. Ta-da! They were overwhelmed with great joy that they had reached the end of the nation of their journey. Ta-da! And they entered the house and they paid homage to the Christ child and they offered him their gifts. But nowhere does it say that they're surprised. That they're surprised to find this great king whose natal star that they have been following for all of this time in a humble house, in humble surroundings. And nor, for that matter, is there any surprise by Mary, who seems to be unwittingly aware of the fact that she's going to have company on this particular day and that they're going to bring the most impractical gifts that any mother has ever received as a baby shower. Nowhere is there surprise. We get hints, don't we? There's hints that stopping at Bethlehem wasn't really what the Magi had expected when they set out on their journey many, many months before. Because before they get to Bethlehem, they stop in Jerusalem. They stop at the palace. Why? Because kings are born in palaces. But the surprise in the story isn't where Jesus is born, it's where he's not. Because when they get to the palace in Jerusalem, they do not find him there. Sometimes our pop culture recognizes the incongruity in the picture that we have of the wise men visiting Jesus in his infant home. The absurdity of this particular image. There's the joke that circulates from time to time, and it always hits about this time of year, of what if the Magi had been women? You've heard this one probably, right? What if the Magi had been women? If the Magi had been women, they would have asked for directions, they would have arrived on time, they would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and given more practical gifts. And yet, when we look at this story that we read this morning, the story of these Magi coming in search of the Messiah, through the comparative lens of this three wise women joke, it quickly comes into focus that what Matthew has been recording for us is how it all must have been. Had these astronomical observers arrived, wearing rubber gloves and bearing gifts of disposable diapers, baby rash cream, and Lysol spray with toilet brushes as their scepters, then we would not have taken part in this archetypal tradition of paying homage to a king, which we hear echoed in all of the readings, starting with our reading from Isaiah, and then our reading from Psalm 72, and then its close relative here today. The sign pointing to Jesus' kingship would not have been there if the joke were right. Had the Magi not stopped first in Jerusalem, then we would not be alerted to the real peril that is here in this story. An unfortunate reality is that the Revised Common Lectionary never gets around to verse 13, 14, and 15 of Matthew chapter 2. The verses in which Herod rises up and kills every newborn child under 2 years of age in the land, and Joseph and Mary run for their lives to Egypt. That part we never quite get to in the lectionary. But we know it's there don't we? We know this story. But had the Magi not stopped first in Jerusalem, they would not have been alerted to this real peril that was felt by those who were in authority, Herod and all of his court, that this infant born in this backwater town was a threat. But we hear, precisely because so many things go wrong in this story, the sense of Herod's raging. And the words of Mary's song, which we read in worship just 2 weeks ago, would not continue to echo in our ears if this did not take place. We would not continue to hear, "He has shown the strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their throne and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." That's all running underneath this story, too, of Herod and his raging, of the worship of a child, of gifts, finest and rare, offered not to a king born in a palace, but to a child in a humble home, breaking the patterns of an acquisitive economic system that existed even back in Jesus' day. Here in these readings this morning, we are reminded of all of those prophecies of Advent fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Prophecies that upset the balance of power in our world and look towards God's kingdom of justice and peace. Here in these readings that we hear this morning, the political practice meets prophetic utterance, and a new world is imagined just for a moment. This week, we've heard a lot about President Jimmy Carter on the news of his death. And no doubt we will continue to hear stories and anecdotes of his life over the coming week as we have moved towards his state funeral. In all of the stories that I've heard, two things really stood out for me. The first is the motto of the Carter Center, which was set up by President Carter and his wife to help people around the world live healthier and more peaceful lives. That's the purpose statement of the Carter Center. The motto is this: waging peace, fighting disease, building hope. It is a motto that draws our attention because it turns everything upside down, doesn't it? How many times have you ever heard the expression, waging peace? How many times have you ever heard the expression, waging war? In a world that spends too much time waging war and fighting whatever, evil, an enemy, as we choose to define them, the motto of the Carter Center catches us short because it speaks of something different. Rather than waging war, it speaks of waging peace. What would the world look like if we invested as much time and resources in the pursuit of peace than we do in the pursuit of war? What would our world look like if we fought the diseases of poverty with the same resources that we use to fight other things? And the final thing that struck me was just a simple story. And these things, you know, they're on the radio as you're driving around town, and they catch you up short for just a second, so you miss the detail, but you remember something. Both of these stories are stories like that. The final thing that struck me was just a simple story of someone who lives in Washington, D.C., and who noted that when President Carter was the president and when he was in the White House, that this man would go to church every Sunday. And just there, sitting in the pew in front of him, was the president, the most powerful person in the world, just right there. You could reach out and touch him. Well, Secret Service might have had something to say about that, but you get the picture. And in that one moment that this man has remembered, in that 1 hour of every week, the kingdom of God was being realized right in front of him. The kingdom of God, where the power of this world falls away and all are made one. Where there is no us and them, there is no powerful and powerless, rich and poor. But all stand before the throne of God to receive God's grace. And all of it began 2,000 years ago with a group of astronomers following a star, searching for a king. And for the surprises that they encountered upon the way. Thanks be to God for his word to us today. I'd invite you to join with me in the affirmation of faith for this morning. This morning's affirmation of faith is adopted from the Confession of Belhar. Let us read together the words as they appear before us on the screen. We believe that God has entrusted the church with the message of reconciliation in and through Jesus Christ. We believe that the church is called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We believe that the church is called blessed because it is a peacemaker. We believe that the church is witness, both by word and deed, to the new heaven and the new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, let us offer our lives and gifts in service of the Lord, the giver of justice and mercy, as we present to God our tithes and offerings this day.
Thank you.
us pray. We praise you, O God, God of steadfast love and faithfulness, for all of your marvelous works, and for the great abundance with which you fill our lives. We bring these gifts to you with joy, and ask that you will use them as a source of joy and blessing for all our neighbors here, near and far. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, through Jesus Christ, you have called all people into your covenant with Abraham and Sarah. We pray for your church throughout the world, that it may be a faithful witness declaring your wisdom to all authorities. The wise men came to King Herod in trust, but he betrayed their trust and perpetrated unspeakable evil. We pray for the leaders of governments around the world, that they will reject the ways of Herod and seek the good welfare of all their citizens. As Joseph, Mary, and the infant Jesus fled before the wrath of Herod and became refugees in Egypt, we are all too aware that there are still those in our world who have been persecuted and displaced. We pray for all those who suffer from political oppression, injustice, or war, and especially we pray for refugees, that they may find home and renewed life. Joseph dreamed a future for his son and obeyed your will for his family. We pray this day for all families, that they may live in peace according to your will. The Holy Family lived with neighbors and received help from strangers. For our neighborhoods, that they may be communities of human flourishing, offering kindness to stranger, we pray your peace this day. In all things, O God, help us to be your agents of reconciliation, working for peace and justice in your world and a fair sharing of this world's resources. Hear us now as we continue praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 712. Arise, your light has come. Hymn 712.
Oh,
let us go forth rejoicing in the light of God's love. May the love of Christ that shines in you shine brightly in the world wherever you go. And the blessing of God, divine giver, radiant light, fountain of life, rest and abide with you this day and forevermore. Amen.